Blog Talk Radio.
So those faithless and perverse generation. What do you say? Faithless and what else? What makes a man get perverted with our faith? What's perverted our Christianity? Faithless.
Well, say that profess that God has given you power, love, and a sound mind, and your mind is not sound. And you don't have power to overcome your present situation and circumstances.
Now, the devil is always pushing. You can recognize the demons working because they always push to impetuous, immediate action. Don't think, do. And the devil says, if you don't do it now, you'll miss the opportunity. If you don't move now, if you don't sell now, if you don't jump now, it'll be gone.
And the kingdom of God is best expressed by authority and power to cast out devils.
Listen, dear friends. Don't forget that little word he said, seek ye first. Come on. That's the secret right there. Seek ye first. Seek ye first. Oh, I tell you, the average person said, seek me first. That's it. Seek me first. Put me first.
Well, anyone who opposes the kingdom of God and the casting out of devils. Because when we're of God's kingdom, our sole purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom. Our sole purpose is to cast down Satan's kingdom.
I can tell you whether you won souls or not, whether you get your prayers answered, whether you're happy or not, whether you got a happy home or not, whether you're worth killing in the church or not. I can tell you, if you log your time and let me see how you start your day out, if you grab a cup of coffee and a newspaper and sit down for an hour and let the Bible go begging, brother, you're mixed up in worldliness.
The Word of God said, we're going over to the other side. And in the midst of the Word of God saying, we are going over to the other side, the enemy showed up in the storm. And the first thing that the enemy did was challenge those who walk with Christ. Those who eat with him and slept with him and saw the miracle, the signs and the wonders done by him. The first thing that the enemy did was steal the word that they heard right out of their hearts and then allow doubt to rise up on the inside of them. And instead of believing what the Word of God said, they said, Lord, we perish.
Reading the word that's going to give you faith, that isn't what he's talking about. It isn't just hearing the word's going to give you faith. You've got to open your spiritual ear or eye as you hear or read the word and appropriate by faith. Make it yours.
That'll sober you up. That ought to melt your silly heart. I'm not interested in your feelings and your little silly sentimentality. I'm wondering about your love for Christ and compassion for others. Do you care? I'm asking you one question tonight. Do you love Jesus or do you love this stinking world?
But God wants us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Deceiving ourselves. How many folks are deceived every single week? Going to hear what they call the word and it never once emboldens them or give them a desire or a passion to do the works of Christ.
We want just a bunch of sickly sentimentality, and we want to just fix up sort of a hiding place and a loophole for sinners to say, well, if that old cuss made it in, I can make it in myself.
The kingdom is within you, and the only kingdom that this world is going to understand until the king comes is what they see in us. Because now we are the only creatures that have the ability to walk in darkness and to walk in light.
Oh, God, people, glory!
All right, shalom, shalom, Israel, shalom. Hey, first thing off the bat, can everybody hear me? Because apparently we're having some audio problems again on this end, as Brother Shane reminds me. Well, they heard the audio intro. Hey, good, wonderful. Tens.
Yeah. Everybody's hearing us. We ain't hearing nothing.
Yeah, we're quiet on this end. Anyway, hey, shalom to y'all. Blessings in the mighty name of Yahshua HaMashiach. Good to have you in the room tonight. And, of course, this is, all right, thank you, Brother Ugly and Stephen Wenda and everybody else. I can't hardly see the computer screen, but, hey, you know what it is when, you know, you got these doggone glasses on, bifocals and all the other fun stuff. Anyway, glory to the King. Glad to have you all in the room tonight as you're joining in for this edition of Blog Talk Radio. Hallelujah. Hope everybody had a blessed Shabbat and a good first day today. I know we did. The weather has been impeccable. It was, what, almost 68 degrees today in December. Now, that is just – I'm going to stay in the South. You know, I was 39 years in the North, and I appreciate the weather definitely down here, at least for as much of the year as we can get it. But, yeah. But shortly here, the weather's going to change for us, so we're going to be in real December weather. But, hey, hallelujah. Be thankful for whatever comes, I guess. Just be prepared. I appreciate it again, Brother Shane. Yeah, it was nice. All right, glory, glory, glory. Get my thoughts together, get my paperwork in order. Again, the beautiful word yesterday on unconfessed sin. And, man, I want to be like David. You know, I want everything to go before me. I want nothing to come behind me. So I pray the Father that he show me every way, every wicked way, and that I confess and repent and be clean before him. Hey, I was sitting at home, just meditating, and it just still astounds me the amount of truth that this one ministry puts out in a whole. I don't think that there's anything near what we present, and it's not it's not theory, it's not hypothetical, it's not it's the truth, and you're just not going to find that anywhere else. So I was just meditating, just thanking the Father that I'm actually, again, you know, he's counting me worthy to actually be able to hear all this and to be a partaker. What a beautiful thing. I mean, this is as close as I think your opportunity to be in part of the remnant here in this country, in the United States, as anybody's ever going to find. Not that, you know, it's straightway alone, but like, how many other ministries are out there doing what this ministry does with the anointing, the power, the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, there ain't. I don't know of any. But glory to the King. I need to get going because this is going to be over probably in over an hour. But anyway, again, I'm grateful to have you all in the room tonight. Yeah, tonight's title is called Stubbornness to Death. And obviously the topic tonight is stubbornness, and it's going to be, of course, you know, we're going to be talking about the other things too that go along with stubbornness. But with that, again, up front, thank you, Brother Ugly, for keeping up with my rapid speed of my studies here and posting the things for the saints to see in the chat room. Yeah, I told Brother Shane, I said, Brother Shane, that it's stubborn is one word. He said, I said that breaking up like that's got more of an effect to it. So I left him. I just let it the way it was. But anyway, yeah, I was doing, you know, I was reading my word here a week or so ago. And again, I got kind of switched on my topics. The study, I believe the Father led me this way is it. And I've seen a common pattern here when people deal with this spirit. And we're going to talk about that pattern. It's reflected all over the words of the Bible, all over all the accounts of the events, the stories through the, you know, the Torah and through the prophets, through the writings, you know, right up until the book of Revelation. There's a same pattern that comes as a result of this spirit of stubbornness. Anyway, so that's really what the topic is about, the spirit of stubbornness. Man, when I say unto death, you're actually going to find out that not only is it a spiritual separation, it's a physical separation as well. All right, some things that I formulated, thought about this spirit. The spirit of stubbornness is unyielding. It refuses to give over its position and will hold that position even against the simple truth of Yah's word. it presents itself as an idol. Stubbornness overrides sound judgment and counsel. Stubbornness is rooted in pride and works closely with rebellion and idolatry, and of course a few other spirits as well, but mainly that grouping of them three. A persistent, stubborn spirit will undoubtedly take one out from among the righteous and put them back outside the body, back into the former things of old. Stubbornness and rebellion are rooted in generational curses and are passed down to the children. Are there some of you which are in torments because of your stubbornness? Because, I mean, of your refusal to turn from your wickedness and do that which you know to be right, and stop trying to justify your position based on your own righteousness. If you are sincere and you really want to know what you are doing and what you believe is right, just ask someone who is equipped spiritually and mentally to give you the right answer. So be careful who you take counsel of. But if you actually believe that you have something that has validity to it, or you're not sure, you're questioning, you're in torments in your mind because you believe that you're doing right or the right thing, but you can't get no peace from it, it's quite possible you're exercising or holding on to a stubborn spirit. So ask somebody that is mature, that will give you an honest answer of what is actually going on. A stubborn spirit borderlines on a reprobate mind and strong delusion, mainly because one places themselves in the place of Yah. Again, it's connected to idolatry, determining in their own mind what is right and wrong, what is acceptable and what is not. Yeah, and Brother Ugly, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but actually anything that is unconfessed will, you know, could possibly keep us, whatever spirits we may harbor before death could keep us, you know, out of the Corinthians chapter, I think 6, goes through a whole entire list. So, yeah, that's just one of the few, but appreciate it, yes. All right, 1 Samuel chapter 15. Let's get rolling here. 1 Samuel 15, verses 10 through 23. All right, First Samuel chapter 15, starting at verse 10. As we all are real familiar about this story, but of course there's a lot to be gleaned from this account. Then came in the word of Yahweh unto Samuel, saying, "It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king." Man, Yah's like, what in the world? For why? "For he's turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments." So right away, right off the indication here, we already get the manifestations outwardly of what's going on inwardly with Saul. Okay, so there was spirits working in him and causing this behavior. "And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto Yahweh all night. When Samuel rose up early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up in a place and has gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Most High. I have performed the commandment of Yahweh." And again, we have the father telling Saul that, telling Samuel, back a few verses that, "He hath not performed my commandments." So right away we get Saul walking right up in the prophet's face, flat out lying to him, right? "And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" So, I mean, you got Saul trying to hoodwink Samuel, right? The prophet of the Most High. You pull a fast one over him. No wonder it talks, and later on we're going to find about rebellion and witchcraft, because he was trying to manipulate the situation. "And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice unto the Most High, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Most High has said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on." So, you know, we got Saul, and all of a sudden he's finding out that the father's already spoke to the prophet about Samuel, about, hey, what's going on with this mess? "And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Most High anointed thee king over Israel?" I mean, he was reminding Saul of the honor that was bestowed upon him by the Most High, reminding him what he brought him from and the place and the position he put him in. "And the Most High sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then dost thou not obey the voice of the Most High, but did fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Most High? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice. He's still contending, right? He's still, even though he had the prophet saying, I was sent by the Most High, I'm speaking to you, and he's still trying to cover it up. I have obeyed the voice of Yahweh and have gone that way. Do you see the stubborn spirit that's in here? He's not going to yield. He believes that what he did, this act he did, is a righteous act according to him, and he's lifted himself up higher than the Most High. But this fly upon the spoil and did evil in the sight of the Most High. And Saul said, yeah, I've obeyed the voice of Yahweh and have gone the way which Yahweh sent me and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice them to Yahweh, the Elohim, and Gilgal. So he changed the game plan. He went against the commandment of the Most High. And Samuel said, has the Yahweh a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Most High? I mean, are you exalting these things greater than actually being obedient to the commandments? You do right by the Father by obeying his commandments, and he'll receive your offering. But if you don't, they don't mean anything. They're not gonna, and your prayers are not going to go into higher than the ceiling. Your fasting, none of that, because of disobedience. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of Yahweh, he has also rejected thee from being king. As I said in the title, it's death. There's a separation happening because Saul was operating, chose to allow these spirits to operate in him, made up his own proclamation, made up his own edicts, decided this is the way I'm going to do it because the Father is going to accept it because I believe that I'm doing right by him. And he tried to justify himself, as we all can see. The word stubbornness, the Hebrew 64:84. This is the brown driver, Brother Paul. It means to press, to push. To push, press, to be insolent, display pushing, or display arrogance and presumption. Exactly what Saul did. He was presumptuous, arrogant, insolent. He pushed his own will, pushed his own mandate, and made his own thing happen. Now, what did it happen? It cost him from being the king. My notes here. To obviously push or press one's own will and ideas over and above the word of the commandments of Yah, thereby making our ways higher and mightier than Yah's, and placing ourselves as gods greater than Yah. So that's where we get the idolatry operating in the spirit of stubbornness. Verse 17. Did I say we're going to verse 23? I hope I did, because that's where we're going, verse 23. And there was a very sore battle that day, and Abner was beaten. No, wait a minute. I'm sorry. No, the 2 Samuel chapter 2. Help me, Father. I'm getting my paperwork messed up. All right, I'm back on track. 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 17 through 23. And another very good example of the spirit of stubbornness, as we're about to see here. And there was a very sore battle that day, and Abner was beaten and the men of Israel before the servants of David. And there were three sons of Zeruiah there, Joab, Abishiah, and Asahel. And Asahel was light of foot as a wild roe. And Asahel pursued after Abner. Now they're in the heat of the battle. I mean, Abner's already beaten, so... You know, Asahel, he's going to come up and he's going to even put more damage on Abner and the hosts that were with him. And in going, he turned not to the right hand nor to the left from following Abner. And Abner looked behind him and said, art thou Asahel? And he said, answered, I am. And Abner said unto him, turn thee aside to the right hand or to the left. He's giving him some warning, right? He knows that you're in a bad situation, because Abner can obviously measure his competition, right? And he probably knows about Asahel, but he's trying to give him a word of warning. Anyway, he's trying to do his enemy a little bit of a favor, if I can use that, just to help this young man in his pride understand what's about to happen to him. turn thee aside to the right hand or the left, to lay thee a hold on one of the young men and take thee his armor. Let's make this at least a fair fight. But Asahel would not turn aside from following. Would not. He had a made-up mind that he's going to go after this. He's not going to heed any counsel. He's not going to heed any warning or admonishment at all. He's in a spirit of stubbornness. He believes that what he's doing is right, and he's going to pursue. And Abner said again to Asahel, turn thee aside from two witnesses. Wherefore should I smite thee to the ground? How then should I hold up my face to Joab, my brother? I mean, come on. I'm about to kill Joab's brother, and the way Joab's going to see it, he was, you know, unarmed, he didn't have any armor on, and so Joab's going to think more evil about Abner. Howbeit, he refused to turn aside, stuck in a stubborn and rebellious way. Wherefore, Abner, with the hinder end of his spear, smote him under the fifth rib, that the spear came out behind him, and he fell down there and died in the same place. And it came to pass that as many as came to the place where Asahel fell down, and he died and stood still. Again, another example of operating a stubborn spirit, and this was a physical death here. And we're going to find out patterns repeated over and over and over and over. Again, the end of this spirit, like I say, it's coupled. Oftentimes, it's yoked up very tightly with rebellion and idolatry, which, of course, you know, is the first commandment, man, thou shalt no other Elohims before me, but right away that this spirit here allows the person that's harboring it to exalt themselves in their own opinion above that of the Father. Deuteronomy chapter 21, Deuteronomy 21, 18 through 21. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, remember, this is Torah. This is how the Father deals with this type of attitude, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother. The same example we've seen of what happened to Saul. He disobeyed against a direct commandment. And here it's coming on the scale and inside the family structure. And that when they have chastened him, will not hearken on them. No amount of punishment is going to move the stubborn and rebellious spirit from this son. And what's remarkable about this first verse here, though, I mean, the Bible tells us that first that which is natural, but then that which is spiritual. So if we take this on a spiritual ideal or spiritual slant, how about it? We are the sons of Yah. So if we practice, it's exact and perfect illustration. If we practice walking in a stubborn and rebellious attitude, then the Father chastens us and hoping us to turn us away from that attitude. But if we refuse to hearken or listen, and he does that through sending one witness, send two witnesses, and then it might come before the entire congregation, or by the conviction of the Holy Spirit. But there's a refusal to hear, because obviously there's a manner here that somebody believes that whatever position they're holding is right, and they expect people either understand that or they don't care what they think about it. But again, we have that same thing here demonstrating a natural and spiritual example. Verse 19, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him unto the elders of the city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of the city, they're going to give a proclamation out of the mouth of one or more, two or more witnesses, let every word be established. Here we got mom and dad saying, this, our son is stubborn and rebellious, and he will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. So obviously they were getting on him because he was harboring a gluttony and a drunkard. He's probably lazy as hell. And it sounds like today's modern what do they call it today? You know, the children of today, the young men and women of today, today's example of the workforce, whatever, the attitude in the generation now. This is our son. He is stubborn and rebellious. He will not be our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the many shall stone him with stones that he dies, so shalt thou put evil away from you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Again, the same exact, you harbor these spirits of stubbornness, rebellion. First, pride comes in and causes one to be stubborn, you know, hold his place, his position. And then the last thing to do is when the spirit starts getting challenged by the righteous, it's going to go and rebel. All right. Just, yeah, teenagers. Yeah. Teenagers, young adults, this generation, this, what do you call it? This Xbox, iPhone generation. All right. The word stubborn, as it was used in Deuteronomy 21:20, it's speaking in the context about the son that is stubborn. It's the Hebrew 56:37, and this is in the Strong's. It means to turn away, that is morally refractory. Turn away, is that possibly mean to apostatize? Backsliding, rebellious, revolters, slide back, stubborn, withdrew. Exactly, meaning going, and we're going to find that out in the New Testament where that actually talks about being linked, that type of attitude being linked back to the natural carnal man. So, yeah, that is a drawing back. That is a sliding back, reverting back to a wicked, satanic nature. And again, like I say, when I was looking, doing my study on this, it always ended up in death. Either that by separation, a physical death, you know, spiritual death, some way, somehow, separation. All right, the book of Sirach, Ecclesiasticus, Sirach, chapter 3, verse 26 and 27. And it'll be then Sirach 16:11. All righty. A stubborn heart shall fare evil at the last. And he that loveth danger shall perish therein. You know, there was a song with a rock group back in the 80s called Molly Hatch. They wrote a song called Flirting with Disaster. So when I read that verse the other day, I was like, yeah, man, that song just, you know, that stuff just pops up in your head. And verse 27, and an obstinate heart shall be laden with sorrows, and the wicked man shall heap sin upon sin. You know, obstinate, we're going to look behind the word here a little bit and later, but it actually is attached to stubbornness, that type of attitude. It's not going to let go. But the thing about it is, and that obstinate type of stubborn attitude is laden with sorrows. All right. Oh, I'm sorry, Brother Ugly. I wasn't. Sirach chapter 3, verse 26 and 27, and then Sirach 16:11. Yeah, you have to forgive me. I'm looking down at my notes and the screen's up over my head, so I have to look up every once in a while. All right, now Sirach 16, chapter 11. If there be one stiff-necked among the people, this is incredible, this scripture. It is a marvel if he escaped unpunished. I mean, it's an absolute amazement that somebody that would actually operate in that spirit is going to escape any type of judgment for it. For mercy and wrath are with him. Not upon him, not coming. They are actually with him. So how will they escape this type of attitude? Stiff-necked, which, of course, we're going to find out is directly tied into a stubborn spirit. They're the same thing. In fact, when I prayed for people with a stubborn spirit, I always hit stiff-necked because it manifests, that attitude usually manifests in the back of the necks and shoulders, tightness, headaches, that type of thing. And if there be one stiff-necked among the people that is a marvel, he escape unpunished, for mercy and wrath are with him. He is mighty to forgive and to pour out displeasure. So, you know, Yah may forgive, but the deal is you're going to feel the displeasure, the chastisement for harboring such an attitude. All right, the word obstinate as, let's see. Now, what I had to do is because, of course, maybe it exists, I don't know, but for the Apocrypha, you know, you can't go look behind the words like you can in the King James or the scriptures, you know, whatever, through the Strong's and stuff. So what I did here, and we're going to use a Hebrew definition too in a little bit here, but for this protagonist, Ecclesiasticus, I actually went to my little desktop dictionary, the Encarta, and it sounded like it's pretty descriptive, hits it right on the head. So the word obstinate from the Encarta dictionary, it means stubborn. First meaning it is just stubborn. Obstinate is stubborn. Determined not to agree with other people's wishes or accept their suggestions or counsels or advice. Refusing to change. Unwilling to change. Unwilling to give up something. such as an idea or attitude. It's a posture. It's a position. I'm not going to do it no matter the consequences, no matter what. I mean, there's a right type of stubbornness to have when you're righteously, you know, representing the kingdom. You're not going to be moved. You're not going to be swayed, that type of stuff. But this is a stubbornness that's, you know, bound in iniquity and lawlessness. It means difficult to control. Difficult to control, get rid of, to solve or to cure. So you can't be changed. It's difficult to control, which probably comes in the realm of temperance or incontrollability. And it, again, the first definition was stubborn. All right, Isaiah chapter 48, verses 1 through 4. Isaiah 48, 1 through 4. All right, hear ye this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of the Most High, and are come forth out of the waters of Judah, which swear by the name of the Most High, and make mention of the Yah of Israel, but not in truth, nor in righteousness. Misrepresentation. For they call themselves of the holy city. Hey, we're Israel. You know, we're inhabitants of Jerusalem, Yah's holy city. That means we're in manifestly, we're right in the sight of men. We give an open example. Outwardly, you have to accept us because we look like we're Israel, right? And stay themselves upon the God of Israel, the Lord of hosts, and they might call up to his name. They might lift up holy hands, you know, in praise and make an open display that they're actually of us. But, of course, now Yah can see this, and he's having the prophet declare this. I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them. I did them suddenly, and they came to pass, because I knew that thou art obstinate, stubborn, and thy neck is an iron sinew, and thy brow brass. The word obstinate, Hebrews 71:86, is the Brown Driver definition here, Brother Ugly. It means hard, cruel, severe, obstinate. Hard, difficulty, severe, fierce, intense, vehement. Stubborn, stiff of neck, stiff-necked, rigorous of battle. So again, we have just another example of a spirit of stubbornness and how it, works amongst the body. Let me see, what time is it? I think before I continue, we're going to take a short ministry break. If I can find it, I can't hear it, but I think I can play it. So y'all have to let me know it's the right one. All right, I'll be right back.
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straightway Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast as well as the truth coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell Jr. That's Charles Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G-T-O-N. P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, and Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E, 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell, Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and, be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Okay, according to the timer on the message, it should be done playing. I hope it's right. Hallelujah. All right, we're back at it. Am I on the air? Can somebody hear me? Hallelujah. All right, thank you very much. It's a little bit tough when you can't hear what's going on. All right, hallelujah. Thank you all. All right, glory to the King. All right, getting right back on the study here. We're not even halfway through it, so got a little ground to make up. All right, going right on. Judges, the book of Judges, chapter 2, 16 through 19. I thank you all for the sound check. Judges chapter 2, 16 through 19. Nevertheless, the Most High raised up judges which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. So we have right here again, it's like it's going back to the example of Saul. You know, the father gave somebody expecting to keep, you know, somebody that was going to represent for the people, rule over them, hopefully judge righteously. And here it actually says that they were there to, the father used these judges to deliver, you know, Israel. As many times they went back into captivity, back out of the hands of those that took advantage, spoiled them, that they were, in, you know, captive to. And again, yet they would not hearken unto the judges. We're not going to listen to what they got to say. Every man is right in his own eyes. But they went a-whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of Yahweh, but they did not so. And when the Most High raised them up judges, then the Most High was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of all their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Yahweh because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them. And vexed is only going to get in trouble, boy. Then you're on your face. When times are good, people just ain't inclined to seek the Most High. But, oh, you get a little heat on your rear end because of rebellion or a stubborn spirit or just our behavior turning from the commandments of the Most High and his ways. Yep, right back on your face. And it came to pass when the judge was dead, as soon as there was no ruler over him to keep the righteousness, that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers, even doing things greater in a sin attitude than those that before them, and following other gods to serve them and to bow down on them. They ceased not from their own doings nor from their stubborn way. This was when I talked about earlier at the beginning that it's a generational situation. The behavior of the parents or the fathers, the children see that, of course, and they not only do pass through spiritually through the curses, but they see the example. We're unyielding. You know, they can see the continued patterns, and unless somebody's righteous there to keep these things from happening or keep a rule over the people, it just keeps manifesting over and over and over and over and over. Psalm 78. The book of Tehillim, chapter 78, verses 1 through 8. 1 through 8. Psalm 78, 1 through 8. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline the ears to the words of my mouth. Pay attention. I'm about to tell you something here. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. So this is something that was repeated orally through each generation. We will not hide them from the children, showing to the generation to come the praises of Yahweh and his strength and the wonderful works that he had done. So repeating all the great, glorious, wonderful things that the Father had done in that generation back down to the children and the generations before that. For he established a testimony in Jacob and anointed it appointed a law in Israel which he commanded our fathers. They should make them known to their children. That I believe that's Deuteronomy chapter 6 talks about that. I think we read that one yesterday, as a matter of fact. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. And obviously by doing this, and the father actually commanding this was to take place, was removing excuse from everybody so they couldn't be ignorant of the law. But of course, when Israel didn't do this, they refused to do this. And then that generation didn't know how to behave properly because they weren't given the law. That they might set their hope in Yah and not forget the works of Yah, but keep his commandments. And might not be as their fathers. Okay, how were their fathers? They were a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with Yah, whose spirit was not anchored, not enduring, and not trusting in the Most High. So again, the whole idea is to, you know, that's the beautiful thing about Shabbat and about, you know, the brother segment, the sister segment, all the YouTube videos, the Patreon videos that Pastor Dahl does, and, you know, endlessly labors to make sure that we get that pure word. That's all there to keep us from falling back or allowing these stubborn, rebellious spirits to move back in, you know, because we do have plenty of judges and righteous judges in this ministry. We have plenty of righteous brothers and sisters that aren't afraid to reprove a wicked way. The one testimony we hear all the time from people that come and visit is the amount of love. And I understand what they mean by love. You know, you show honor, you show reverence to these people as your guests, lovers of hospitality, but they also recognize the fact that we don't play games, that we're accountable to each other. They see that reflection in two as a body, and you know that shows them a real level of integrity and a real level of you know, how adamant we are being a righteous people, holy people. Yeah, we are truly best. There's no doubt about it. Zechariah chapter 7, 9 through 14. That's chapter 7, Brother Ugly, 9 through 14. Thus speaketh the Most High Yahweh of hosts, saying, execute true judgment and show mercy and compassion, every man to his brother. I mean, love the brother. Come on. And oppress not the widow, not the fatherless, nor the stranger, nor the poor, and let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. But they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder, which is another pure example of stubbornness and rebellion. But they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear. You know, anyone walking in a stubborn, rebellious, and stiff-necked spirit, they will not open themselves up to hear the reality of their true situation. Willingly stop the ears, defiant. We don't want to hear what you have to say. We don't want this reproof. We don't want to hear this counsel. We know what we're doing. You know, it's right in our own eyes. Leave us the hell alone. We're going to prove to you that what we're doing is just acceptable and fine. And the Father's going to, and you're going to see that the Yah is going to approve it. But I'll tell you what, here comes a bitter death sentence. That's all it is, a bitter death sentence. And again, if you're out there and you think you're doing something right, you know, you're so convinced in your spirit that it's right to do, that it's acceptable, that everybody has to accept it because it's you, you know, you put yourself on a pedestal. Well, I'm well favored, I'm well liked, you know, and people will understand. And no, we don't play that kind of game here. You understand? We can't afford to, because we're not going to allow that type of example to be demonstrated, and we don't want to bring a curse upon this people. Absolutely not. So that's the type of love that is manifest in this ministry. Verse 12. Yea, they made their hearts. This was a forced issue. This was a stance. This was a pure, stubborn stance, is that I'm unmovable. They made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law. Wow, that is a hard situation to be in. I am totally going to shut out whatever you have to say. I don't want to hear it. I know what the hell I'm doing. Leave me alone. I got it figured out. But I mean, to just shut. Oh my goodness. I mean, if they can't bear the judgment of those on earth, how are they going to bear the judgment of the Father? They can't hear those on earth. They'll never be able to hear the voice. Not with that type of attitude. Lest they should hear the law and the words which the Most High, the Lord of Yahweh of hosts, has sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the master of hosts, Yahweh of hosts. Therefore it has come to pass that as he cried, and they would not hear. So they cried as I would not hear. You know, Father, hey, I've done enough. I sent my prophets. I sent my pastors, my teachers, my elders, my evangelists. I sent all these people to you. You wouldn't hear. You wouldn't hearken to my counsel. You disobeyed my word. So now the shoe's on the other foot. I don't care what you got going on. I'm not going to hear you in your day of calamity. Don't be fooled. And let me finish this. But I scattered them with the whirlwind among the nations. This is a repeated theme about those that operate and walk in a stubborn spirit, a spirit of pride and rebellion. They get scattered. They get a lot of people believe that they have. Let me finish this anyway. Whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after that no man passed through, no return, for they laid the pleasant land. The Father is going to remove the evil from the land. You know, a lot, as I was reflecting again on the study, I go back, look through, I like to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say as I'm meditating on stuff. And a lot of people that, again, going back to, the people that have left this community in particular, even those in the ministry, right, that especially those that have left voluntarily, they believe that they're doing it on their accord. They believe that it was by their own their own made up mind that this is what I'm choosing because I'm all right. I'm fine. I'm still highly favored in the sight of the Most High. He still hears my prayers or whatever. I'm gonna go out and I'm gonna leave. But the fact of the matter is, what they don't understand is because they operate in that kind of spirit and attitude, that stubborn spirit, that one that refuses to hear, that refuses to change, that refuses to get the heart right. It's the Father actually taking them out of here. All the time, this strong delusion is they're thinking that they're doing this on their own, and the Father is still their favorite, if I'm making sense, which I hope I did. All right, Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1 through 3, 1 through 3. Isaiah 30, 1 through 3. Woe to the rebellious children, right off the bat, there's a woe. Operating in a rebellious attitude, rebellious spirit, rebellious manner. Saith the Most High, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with the covering, but not of my spirit. So where are they getting the counsel from? Well, they might get it from orally from somebody else. That's, the viper comes along and it's going to incite that same type of rebellion that is in them. It could be, and it is most often, it's a demonic spirit. It's going to sit there and speak to the mind, all right? It's going to convince you that, what you're seeing is right and what everybody else is doing is wrong. Take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit. So if it's not of Yah's spirits, then you're being covered by something else that's not of the kingdom of Yah. It's obviously the kingdom of Satan. There is only one or the other. That they may add sin to sin. Whose covering do the rebellious have? If it is not Yah, then by default it must be satanic. Cut and dried, right? That walk to go down into Egypt. So you can see somebody that's in a, right away, this is a manifestation, and it's clearly manifest that, they went out from among us because they were not of us. They go back down into the world. They go back out in the world, and they get consumed by it. I don't know how strong they think that they are, how resilient they are to what the world's going to throw at them. Once Satan has you out there, especially by yourself, forget it. That walk to go down in Egypt and have not asked it my mouth. Father, do I need to go back? And of course the Father didn't say not, but they're not going to ask no counsel. Why? Because they already know scripturally that the Yah's people don't separate. We stay together. We don't turn away and go the other direction or go back to where we came from. They have not asked him out to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and trust in the shadow of Egypt. Oh, and that's going to be your God too. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. Yeah, go back out in the world. You're going to find out how badly it's going to come on your neck, come on your head. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. And don't be misguiding your thought. You don't have to have somebody physically walking up to your face and getting, even though that is absolutely, you know, prescription in the word that you ought to show love for your brethren. But this same type of reproof comes over across the pulpit, comes through Blog Talk Radio, comes through the videos. Shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Ezekiel 3, 1 through 6. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth and caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. That, then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange language and a strange speech and a hard language, but to the house of Israel, meaning that they will have the ability and the capability to hear what you have to say. All right, it's not like you're speaking, you know, you speak Spanish and they go talk to, you know, somebody that speaks French and they can, you know, you understand what I'm saying, but they're not only going to understand naturally the words that you're speaking, but spiritually as well. Not too many people of a strange speech and of a hard language whose words thou canst not understand. Surely I had sent thee to them that they would have hearkened unto thee. Because we're of the same manner people, right? But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. So if they're not listening to Yah, if they refuse to hear what the Father, by his word, by the conviction of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, if they're not going to hear Yah, that and them avenues, they're not going to hear the one that he's sending to them. So he's covering all the bases, right? He's removing any excuse. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted, which all go back to having that hard-hearted, rebellious, stiff-necked, stubborn attitude. Behold, I have made my face strong against their faces and their foreheads strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Jeremiah chapter 17, 21 through 25. Thus saith the Most High, take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem. You make this individual decision that you're not going to bear no burden, nor no burden on the Sabbath, or bring anything into the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, because it's a holy day. Neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, neither do you any work, but you hallow the Sabbath day as I commanded your fathers. But they obeyed me not, neither inclined their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive. I wonder what they had to do that was so important that they were going to totally resist, harden themselves against the commandment of the Most High, the sign that's for Israel. You know, even science has proven that they went out to prove this biblical theory that if a person works six days and they actually rest the seventh, that when they did the study, they found out that there was remarkable things that took place, not only, you know, physiologically, psychologically, physically, there was just a whole different attitude, and just by that one day of rest, just in the natural man. So when we get to meditate on the word of the Most High, get to hear it, what even more great benefit do we get out of that? And they made their neck stiff that they might not hear nor receive instruction. Again, we got it all figured out. And it shall come to pass, if you diligently hearken unto me, saith the Most High, to bring in no burden through the gates of the city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day, to do no work there. And then shall they enter in the gates of this city, kings and princes, sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and horses, they and their princes, the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain forever. So just do right. You know, be a person of integrity, love the Most High with all thy heart, mind, soul, and spirit, and the neighbors thyself, and you'll be blessed. Acts chapter 7, verse 51 through 54. Acts 7, 51 through 54. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. Right away, this is Stephen talking to the crowd, specifically the religious folk. You stiff-necked, you stubborn, you hard. I mean, you can go through the whole list. You rebellious and uncircumcised in the heart. And there's no conversion. There's nothing that happened inside the inner man. That there was an outward display, again, an outward manifestation of some form of holiness. But obviously, Stephen already could identify that the problem was internal. And how could they? You know, how could they know what to do was right or wrong? Honestly, that there wasn't a transformation, a conversion. Uncircumcised heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Again, another manifestation, another clear example of people that operate in a stubborn and stiff-necked spirit, and a rebellious spirit. They resist even to that degree, as we've said time and time again. Yah's Holy Spirit is chastised, coming by conviction, by how, you know, whatever course, but there's an open agreement with this demonic spirit that I'm going to stand because my word, my understanding is greater than that of Yah. I've made myself greater than the Most High. And again, then you're committing idolatry before the Most High. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one, whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. There's another manifestation of people that, leaving the hell alone, you know, our own righteousness is stand. We know what we're doing. Who are you to tell us what to do? And boy, that gets a manifestation of that kind of manifestation. Boy, they are upset. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 21 through 29. You ever go to anybody and try to reprove them because they're in that type of, they're in a rebellious, a stubborn attitude. They're unmovable, you know, impenetrable. They've got it all figured out. And you go up there in the love of the brethren, trying to tell them, they lash out like you, right? I mean, that tells you that they're already guilty, right? I mean, if we're people of Yah, we're supposed to walk in temperance and self-control. And not to be upset when somebody reproves us or rebukes us, even though it doesn't feel good. The right attitude is to take it humbly because it's for your benefit. Nehemiah 9, 21 through, when they say 29, no, through 30. Yea, 40 years did thou sustain them in the wilderness, so they lacked nothing. Their clothes waxed not old, and their feet swelled not. Moreover, thou gavest them kingdoms and nations, and did devise them in the corners. So they possessed the land of Sihon and the king, and the land of the king of Heshbon, and the land of Og, king of Bashan. Their children also multiply as thou as the stars of heaven, and broughtest them into the land, concerning which thou hast promised to their fathers that they should go in to possess. Reaccounting the story again of all the good things and the love that the father is trying to show towards his firstborn Israel. So the children went in and possessed the land, and thou subduest before them the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, and gavest them into their hands with their kings and the people land, that they might do with them as the father's trying to. It's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom, you know. But hey, that's what he just wants. That's his will. That's his desire for his people. Just like we are with our children, we want to do good things for them. And they took strong cities in the fat land, and possessed houses full of goods, wells digged, vineyards and olive yards, and fruit trees in abundance. So they did eat and were filled and became fat and delight themselves. Man, my God, this is so beautiful, you know. Of course, when the flesh starts taking rule over the spirit, something happens, you know. People forget Yah because the flesh is in rule. Verse 27, therefore thou deliverest them into the hand of their enemies. Oh, wait, verse 26. Nevertheless, they were disobedient after all this, after everything the Father has done for them, done for us. again, same thing we should bring back to our memory continually every day, that everything he's brought you through, everything that he's in, you know, your prayers when you cried out, that, you know, it at the last minute he pulled you through it just to show you that he's still in control, that he still loves you, and he's trying to get you right and get your faith in order, and, you know, everything is just a benefit because it's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom, the one that's within you. But again, nevertheless, they were disobedient, rebelled against thee, and cast thy law behind their backs, and slew their prophets, which testified against them to turn them to thee, and they wrought great provocations. Therefore thou delivered them into the hand of their enemies who vexed them. Again, another sure sign. You continue to operate in a stubborn, rebellious spirit, refuse to turn, refuse to hear the counsel, the admonition, the preaching, the teaching, the word, the Holy Spirit. This is what you're going to get delivered back into your enemies. You are going to get, the evil is going to put a way out of the camp, and you're going to get turned back over to your enemies. And even that might be a benefit if the Father, by the hands of your enemies, your captors, can actually get you to be that vexed, knowing finally coming to that low state where you can understand that you've sinned against the Most High and are willing to do something about it. Even that, you can see he'll restore you. But hey, I mean, unfortunately, that's what has to happen sometimes to get us to turn from our wicked ways. Who vexed them, and in the time of their trouble, when they cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven. According to thy manifold mercies, thou gavest them saviors who saved them out of the hand of their enemies. Man, what a mighty Yah, huh? Wow. But after they had rest, oh my, everything was good again. Man, we're back on top again. This flesh is, oh boy, it's got the, you know, all kinds of food. We got a place in our head. What happens again? But after they had rest, they did evil again. They didn't have anybody oppressing them. They weren't under somebody else's lash. And the Father delivered them. They did evil again before thee. Therefore, leftest thou them in the hand of their enemies so that they had dominion over them. Yet when they returned and cried unto thee, thou heardest them from heaven, and many times didst thou deliver them according to thy mercies. You know, we've had examples of people here. They've been put away from the ministry. They go out there, they get their ass handed to them. Mostly, you know, of course, they head back to the shepherd, right? They head back to the pastor, and they call him on the phone, and, man, we're sorry, we're pinching, you know, and then he'll restore them. And then right away they get comfortable again. The flesh takes back over, right back out. They might call the next day cussing and doing whatever, you know, the case may be. And pass it, like first and second admonition, forget it. You know, that you're cut off. You had your chance. But, you know, exercising the same mercies of the Father. Because people do get in wicked, evil ways. They get to a point where they're lost. You got to hope that the goodness of Yah can get through their hard heads. Our hard heads, so that we can actually hear, you know, from the voice of the Holy Spirit. So they had dominion over them, yet when they returned and cried unto thee, thou heardest from them from heaven, and many times didst thou deliver them according to thy many times. Wow. And testified against them that thou mightest bring them again unto thy law. Yet they dealt proudly and hearkened not unto thy commandments, but sinned against thy judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. Went through the shoulder and hardened their neck and would not hear. Yet many years did thou forbear them and testified against them by thy spirit in thy prophets, yet would they not give ear. Therefore givest thou them into the hand of the people of the land. Like I said earlier, somebody believes that they're willingly taking themselves out of the ministry. They think that they're the ones in control of their future. Oh, hell no, that's the Father is the one that helped them out of the ministry. They just don't recognize it. You know, Pastor just talked about an example that happened up here in New York with a brother up there that passed over the pulpit. You know, this is public now, so I can talk about it, but he made an open declaration, and it was serious as all is a heart attack. You know, you pull this crap, you're out, you're gone, right? And yet this stubborn, rebellious, proud spirit refused to hear that because his flesh had something greater. His flesh became his God, ruled over him. He allowed the rule, and look, it took him right out. That's how sneaky and conniving and powerful these spirits are. But their whole point is to cause rebellion is to cause death. It's either by separation, you know, physically or spiritually or whatever the case may be, but it's there to separate, divide, and conquer. Psalm 68:6. God said it. Yeah, Brother Paul, that's unfortunately the sentiment, but accountability goes out the window. Yah setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. So those that are willing to repent, to turn from their wicked ways, that are bound in these chains, these transgressions, these sins, influenced by these demonic spirits working in them, and they actually do that which is right in the sight of the Most High, He'll deliver them from them chains. He'll break them chains. But the rebellious, they're going to be in a dry place, a thirsty land where there is no hope, desolate. Are you one of those which to you it seems that you have lost your connection with the Most High? Do you cry out to the Father and ask Him to change your heart, but nothing seems to ever happen, as if you dwell in a dry land which can offer you no comforts? When the stubborn rebellious eventually return to the world, the life they were supposed to have left behind, they in the same way naturally are returning back to that dry land. That's what Egypt is. It's a dry land. There is no life. There's death. If you are not in a wicked, rebellious, stubborn, backslidden in heart kind of way, chances are pretty good that the Father will loose from you the shackles and chains which bind you, or you're willing to repent and turn. So even this is a challenge to anybody, including myself, that are in this type of, just repent, return, you know, and the Father will restore you. He'll loose the chains from off you. It's His promise. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 16 through 19. Deuteronomy 30, 16 through 19. In that I command thee this day to love. It's actually a command. We are commanded to love. I command thee this day to love Yahweh the Elohim, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and that the Most High shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, harden the heart, shutting down the ears, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land, whether thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. All this is happening because somebody turns their heart away, resist that the voice of the Holy Spirit, resist Yah's word, refuses to be changed, to be turned, and you're going to go on back into this land, and in the end is going to be perishment. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And we about done. And you has He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. He made us alive. We were in a state of a death, bound for hell. And the Father loved us enough to call us, to choose us, quicken unto us, because we were in a state where we would be eternally separated from Him. We're in time past, Paul reminding the church of Ephesus, this is the way that you used to be, all right? This is what your attitude and your manner was before conversion, before the Father quickened unto you His Spirit. Where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, or the manner of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of course, that being Satan, whose dominion this is, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So that spirit that we came out of was the same one when we were disobedient children without the Father in this world, without the Most High. We walked in the course of this world. We walked in disobedience to the Father because we didn't know what obedience to Him was. Among whom also we had all our conversation times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And this, of course, after we're doing all this study, you can see what happens to those that operate in the stubborn. I refuse to hear, spirit that's rebellious, the spirit of pride. What is the end? They're children of wrath. The word disobedience is the Greek 543 in the Strong's. It means disbelief, obstinate, and rebellious. So the children of obstinance, they're children of rebellion, disobedience, unbelief. Obviously, stubbornness, obstinance, rebellion, and unbelief are all those wicked ways which were of the kingdom of Satan, whose kingdom we are now supposed to be free from. Ephesians chapter 5, 1 through 8. Ephesians 5, 1 through 8. Be therefore followers of Yah as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us, and hath given himself for us in an offering of sacrifice to Yah for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication, all uncleanness, or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become as saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish jesting, nor foolish talking, nor jesting which are not convenient, but rather the giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of Yah. Let no man deceive you with vain words, because of these things cometh the wrath of Yah upon the children of disobedience. That same manner before conversion, those that were given to wrath, those that before conversion, that nature. Be not ye therefore partakers. You're supposed to be separated from that nature now, from the physical people, from that attitude, from that mindset of the world, because this is a conversion process. We have the mind of Yah. For you were sometimes darkness, now you are light in the Most High. Walk as children of the light, and of course not after the former conversation of the old man. Psalm 95, 8 through 11. This is a warning again. Harden not your heart, as in the day of provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, It is a people that do err in their heart. They have not known my ways. Unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Even though they pretend they know their ways, even they pretend they say that they know what Yah's, you know, mandate is, you know, what it means to obey him. And they put on the outward example, but the inward adorning is corrupt. The word harden, as used in Psalm 95:8, is the Brown Driver definition, Hebrews 71:85, to be hard, be severe, be fierce, be harsh. Be hard, be difficult, to be hard, be severe, to be ill-treated, to be hard-pressed, to have severe labor, to make difficult, make difficulties, to make severe, make burdensome, to make hard, make stiff, make stubborn. So make your heart stubborn. Of obstinacy, figuratively, being obstinate, making the heart obstinate. To show stubbornness. Back to Ecclesiasticus in the Apocrypha, Sirach chapter 2, 28 to 34. Sirach 2, 28 to 34. As thou spakest by thy servant Moses in the day when thou didst command him to write the law of the children of Israel, saying, if you will not hear my voice, surely this very great multitude shall be turned into a small number among the nations. Again, here we come back to the same thing. If you refuse to hear, you operate in a rebellious, stubborn spirit, separation. You're removed out of the body, scattered amongst the heathen, spiritually separated, you know, from Yah, which of course is a death sentence. For I knew that they would not hear me, because it is a stiff-necked people. But in the land of their captivities, they shall remember themselves. Put enough hardship on them, hopefully they're going to know what's going on. Put enough lumps on them, enough whips on their back. I'm talking, you know, not figuratively, but of course, a good mental beating. A good spiritual beating. And they shall remember themselves. Man, what in the world was I thinking? What did I allow myself to actually do? My Yah. And shall know that I am Yahweh their Elohim. Because he's the same one that sent them out, he's going to be the same one to allow them return if they get themselves right. For I will give them a heart and ears to hear. So this is all the Father's doing, man. He's going to open it back up so they can start hearing the voice of truth again. And they shall praise me in the land of their captivity and think upon my name and return from their stiff neck and from their wicked deeds. And these are all words of hope. That's what this is for. Yeah, 28, yeah, Sirach 2, 28-34. Yes, that's correct. And they shall remember the way of their fathers which sinned before the Most High. So we have an example. Don't do like the generations before us. Now I'll bring them again in the land which I promised with an oath unto their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they shall be lords of it. I will increase them, and they shall not be diminished. The multiplication, because you receive the blessing. Sirach 2:28-34. Really? I don't know what you're looking at, but my little red Apocrypha. I don't know, Brother Paul, what the hell is going on, but hey, now you got me curious. Anyway, it was verse 28 to 34. It's in the Apocrypha. I think it's Ecclesiasticus, but I will double check and send something out on Facebook or something just in case so we get it right. But weird. Anyway, hallelujah. Hey, it was good, though. It was solid. Everybody's verse only goes up to 18. Well, I mean, I got a special version, I guess. Yeah, King James Bible and Esau. Actually, I've got mine is a PDF I downloaded. It's a King James with the Apocrypha that I get this from. Copy and paste. That's interesting. I'll have to compare it to my little hand, my hardcover. Anyway, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 through 17. Deuteronomy 10, 12 through 17. And know, Israel, what does the Most High, thy Elohim, require of thee, but to fear the Most High, thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways and to love him, to serve Yahweh thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yahweh and the statutes I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of the heavens is the Most High's, the earth also, and with all that therein. So everything belongs to the Father. We know that. Only the Most High has delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. I mean, he could have said any type of other figure, anything, but he had to use the word stiff-necked, or obstinate, or stubborn. For Yahweh Elohim is a Yah of Yahs, and a master of masters, a great Yah, a mighty and the terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh rewards. Anyway, hallelujah, glory to the King. That is the end of this study on, you want mine, huh? All right, I'll tell you what, I'm gonna go find out where I got it, and I'll try to post it up on Facebook so people can go to the same source. I don't know, maybe I got a lost copy. I don't know, hallelujah. But anyway, that concludes the study on the spirit of rebellion, and of course, also, in addition, the spirit of stubbornness, and joining with that is pride, rebellion, and idolatry. I really hope that you were able to glean something out of it. As always, that is my hope whenever the word goes forth, and that you're able to take something with it and actually make a change in your life. If this is some type of, that's Sirach 3. Hey, hallelujah, glory to the King. There's the answer. Thank you, my sister. Hallelujah. All right, case solved. Anyway, glory to the King. Hey, y'all have a good week. Be encouraged. And, keep your eyes lifted towards the Most High. Again, your prayers for Brother D out there in Georgia, Brother Jerusha, as he fights through this attack on his body. And, of course, keep absolutely, Pastor Dowell lifted up, and Sister Carol, Elder Rufus, and Sister Jennifer, all the saints that are traveling to Green Bay this weekend, that Satan not hinder them in any way, shape, or form, that they that the Father, is able to, and he will be able to, change the hearts of the obstinate, the stiff-necked, and those children that are pointed to wrath of disobedience in the nature they're in now. But Anyway, pray for one another that you may be healed. All right. Hey, hopefully, Yah willing, we'll see y'all again, I believe, in about 4 weeks. All right. Hey, y'all have a blessed evening, a blessed rest of the week. Shalom, the King is coming.